Thank you for the opportunity to be here today to talk about this important topic. Microsoft was founded upon a vision of a computer in every desk and in every home. This vision is now reality for 1 billion people, but it still means that there's another 5 billion, most of whom live in the developing world, who do not yet have ready access to computers and related technology. At Microsoft, we've been seeking to address this challenge principally through our Unlimited Potential program, but it is clear that more remains to be done. Turning more specifically to the topic of software licensing, I'd like to open with the observation that copyright provides an enabling framework to address increased availability of computer software. Copyright, at its heart, allows the author of a work a wide range of options in crafting agreements to fit his or her objectives, whether those be to license or sell the work for a profit, to facilitate widespread distribution under a Creative Commons approach, or to encourage collaboration and contribution by third parties, as my friends at the Free Software Foundation seek to do with their licenses. Whatever the business or social objective we are seeking, copyright provides a set of baseline rules that facilitate its achievement. Without this, it would be harder for all of us, whatever our preferred licensing model, to put that model into effect and reap its benefits. And just as copyright enables a broad spectrum of licensing models, supporting everything from proprietary package software to open source distributions, copyright enables economic activity in a wide range of countries at various stages of development. In sum, I see copyright as part of the solution, not part of the problem, when it comes to the availability of creative works, including software, in developing countries. Now, some may argue that because the policy justification for the grant of IP rights, including copyright, focuses primarily on providing incentives to invest in innovation and creative enterprise, it doesn't have much immediate relevance to developing nations because they lack the resources, infrastructure, and technical capability to realize the associated benefits in the short term. However, this view completely ignores the substantial effects of IP systems on the technology transfer and capacity building that is essential to sustainable development. As Francis Gurry, the Director General of WIPO, has eloquently pointed out with respect to creating an IP agenda attuned to the needs of developing economies, first and foremost is the question of how intellectual property can contribute to the reduction of the knowledge gap and to greater participation on the part of the developing and least developed countries in the benefits of innovation and the knowledge economy. Alternatively, my friends in the open source community might argue that the solution isn't getting rid of copyright, but instead using copyright to distribute software under a free licensing model that allows individuals and companies in developing countries to share it without charge and to work together to improve it by writing new code. Let me be clear. Open source software is an important part of the software ecosystem and absolutely has a role to play in improving access to computing technology. However, we also need to realize that no single licensing model is a complete solution, a silver bullet, for increasing access. In my view, this is true for a couple of key reasons. First, in most contexts, the cost of software represents a relatively small portion of the overall cost of providing computing resources. Second, the benefits of different licensing models are context-specific. No one business model or type of license is universally appropriate, let alone optimal for producing software fitting the varied needs of developing communities. These needs include not just basic access to the technology, but the technology transfer needed to create vibrant businesses that contribute to the local economy. Let me address each of these points in turn. First, as I mentioned, software is a small portion of the overall cost of operating a computing system. To make computing resources available, hardware must be procured, irrespective of the software that runs on it. While much is donated to schools and similar institutions, there is still a significant shortfall. And businesses and families aren't even that fortunate. But software offers a means of addressing this challenge at comparatively lower cost. For example, technology like our multi-point software development kit that allows multiple mice to work with a single machine can work wonders in a classroom with 30 kids, but only one computer. Additionally, even considering software alone, one must look just beyond just the license price. Reliability, robustness, usability, and other features are often critical to effective access. For example, this is why Microsoft has a local language program for our software that encompasses 95 languages. I'm not saying that these innovative approaches are possible only with packaged software, but it is something that we at Microsoft have a commitment to, and an area in which I think we've made important contributions. Access to the Internet constitutes another quite significant recurring cost in many developing nations. These days, some software functionality is provided only as a network service, which means that users must be online in order to use it. For example, connectivity can play big dividends in education by giving students access to resources for additional learning, such as government websites and information repositories. At the same time, however, with new cloud-based applications, computing resources can be provided more efficiently and at much lower cost. For example, via an advertising-based model or by engaging in price discrimination via geography through use of technical measures. The evolution of cloud computing and the richness of the variety of business models that will emerge offer significant opportunity for increasing access to computing technology in developing countries. Second, it is important to keep in mind that access to software and computing technology is only the tip of the iceberg. We also need to think beyond short-term costs and consider the long-term sustainability and potential for economic contribution of various approaches. Microsoft's licensing model is very good at creating a local system of independent software vendors and resellers and distributors, most of which are small local firms. This ecosystem contributes to local economic growth. Third-party economic studies have demonstrated that for each dollar Microsoft earns in revenue, another $9 are generated in revenues to the host of small companies and partners that make up the Microsoft ecosystem. In many developing nations, this ratio is even higher. For example, in Brazil, for every Brazilian real of Microsoft revenue in 2009, the ecosystem beyond Microsoft reaped over 12 Brazilian real. Indeed, developing countries are the future of IT. Because of their growing economies, lower labor rates, hardware exports, and large number of companies, between 2009 and 2013, developing countries will account for 70% of new IT-related jobs and 60% of new IT companies formed. We believe our partner and ecosystem model contributes to that growth. We're proud to provide platforms for which ISVs can develop software with just a few people and a small amount of resources that can reach a worldwide audience. And we're proud to help them get started through initiatives such as our BizSpark program, which provides software to new privately held startups with under $1 million in annual revenue. Obviously, there are a lot of successful open source companies as well, but many tend to be focused on providing services, something that is more manpower intensive and requires a large English-speaking workforce if it is to grow beyond a small local operation. In short, our licensing approach has key benefits in building a local software economy and ecosystem, which is not to take anything away from the benefits offered by other licensing models. In conclusion, as I said at the beginning, no one model is a complete solution. We live in a mixed source world, and it is only through a mixed source approach, a mixed licensing approach, that we can bring computing technology to all the world's population. Thank you.